Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, Jim and Javal Potts back on the line. Thank you again, as always, for sharing your Sunday afternoon or your Sunday evening with us. We always appreciate it. Last week we did a... Jamal, how you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
Good. We're going to let the listeners know that we're actually doing this remotely. We're trying to stay in compliance with the shelter and keeping distances, et cetera. So we're actually not in the studio. I'm broadcasting from my home, and Jamal is actually broadcasting from his home. So we're miles apart, but we're still going to bring all of the information to you. For those of you that are regular listeners, last week they were still trying to debate on how are we going to handle all this since we're not in the studio. So last week we did a repetition of the week before on that bioterrorism, and we're going to finish up on that a little bit today and then move into some other areas. But before we do that, you know, we have to do some shout-outs here real quick first. Well, let me just back up. First of all, if anybody would like to call in, you can still have that option. You can call us at 818-602-4929, or just go to our website, and on the website, it'll have our LA Talk Radio website, and it'll have the number where you can call in. Today we're going to be talking about, as I said, we're going to pick back up on the bioterrorism part two. That's not going to be that long. Then we're going to be talking about some stats, the 2019 stats on burglaries and also home invasions. And then we're going to be talking about the coronavirus scams. And we're actually going to be starting with that piece. But first, and Jamal, I don't know if you have any shout outs today, but my shout out today is to all those doctors and nurses and first responders out there that are on the front lines, really trying to help us bring this under control, trying to cure people, et cetera. You know, they're working hard. And I was glad to hear that the president had signed the stimulus package where they're getting additional, you know, money and, you know, for all the things that they need out there. So we want to send a shout out to them. Jamal, do you have any shout outs? I wasn't sure.
Yeah, man. Shout out to the people that are sending us our stimulus check, mate. May they work in the fast pace that they can to get it out to us, man.
Okay. Jamal sending a shout out about the stimulus checks. Okay. Yeah. Well, they'll get out here as fast as we can. But, you know, I'm sure they're working on it, Jamal. At any rate, yeah, well, we'll see. Yeah. And be safe out there, everybody. But, you know, I'm going to talk about these, the emails first. And then after the emails, as I always do, we'll get in a little bit more about this coronavirus situation. But look, you know, the public message that we want to first extend out to everybody is please follow the guidelines that are out there. They're telling you about washing your hands. They're telling you about keeping your hands away from your face. We saw this doctor yesterday that was at, I believe it was NYU, and he did this video, and he was talking about the fact that really the main issue is washing your hands, keeping your hands away from your face, and also those touched areas. He's like, even if you touch one of those sensitive areas where there might be the virus, he was saying if you don't touch your face, you're not going to get it. You know, so, you know, keep doing the things and the social distancing as well. I mean, you know, Jamal, even in the office, as you know, our office is maintaining the social distancing, and we have to be in there because all these unemployment claims that we have to process on behalf of our clients, and which is one of the things I'm going to talk about in a little bit. Okay, so let's get into the emails first, Jamal. All right.
All right.
Okay, Jim. I know you don't get into taking sides with the with politics. However, I want to draw something to your attention. In 2011, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, chief medical correspondent for CNN, commented that the funding for fighting bioterrorism had decreased and that would impact the ability to distribute vaccines and prevent the United States from tracking viruses. Furthermore, in 2010, MSNBC had a special where they discussed the United States and the fact that the United States had a low level of bioterrorism preparation, all right, or preparedness. At that time, a bipartisan report gave the Obama administration of a failing grade regarding this. Now look at where we are. I just wanted to vent. Signed, Joe Biden, former VP. No, I'm just kidding. It's Joe from Kansas. Joe from Kansas City. I couldn't resist that, people. But at any rate, the guy's name was Joe, so I was, you know, so I threw Joe Biden. But I was just kidding. But at any rate, look, hey, Joe, yeah, look, here's the deal. The deal is that, you know, as much as we would think that we would like to be prepared for this, I'm sure every administration is doing their best. But it's interesting, we look back, this was almost 10 years ago, and the issues that we were looking at down the road are now confronting us. So, you know, I don't think anybody can really 100% prepare for all of this as much as people would, you know, would expect to be able to do that. But the realities are, this is a tough call, and nobody ever expected anything like this to this extent. You know, the one thing that I'm happy about is that it doesn't have necessarily the devastating effect with some of these numbers that are coming back. I mean, it's still a serious thing, and yes, people are dying, but it's not the Black Plague that will eventually kill millions of people. I mean, it may make people ill, but it looks like the numbers of deaths are really relatively low. Of course, in Italy, it's really bad for whatever reason. It's just really bad. But at any rate, so Joe, I appreciate that. I think looking back is one thing, but looking forward is more important. And I think we are going to be putting these safeguards in place now, because that's who mankind is. They do these things, and these are the kind of things that change us. So we'll wait and see. People will probably, even after this, be more conscientious about washing their hands, social distancing to a certain extent. These are the things that have changed over the eons that we've been on this planet. You know. So at any rate, we'll just wait and see. All right, Joe, thanks. Go ahead, Jamal. I'm sorry.
And also, too, like we stated before on the previous show, we got to get out of this place that we're constantly pointing fingers right now, because it's not helping. And focus on the recovery and worry about how this, you know, could have been prevented at another time. You know what I mean? Because it's not helping anybody right now pointing fingers. Let's not get everybody angry. Let's just get through this thing first.
Well, I certainly agree with that, Jamal. No point in pointing fingers. I fully agree with that. All right. Let's go to number two. Jim, I heard that there are a lot of scams going around right now with people taking advantage of the coronavirus. They are despicable and should be put in jail. The same for people that are doing price gouging. Do you agree? Jesse from Santa Monica, California. Yeah, absolutely, I agree. And as a matter of fact, there are some things going around with that right now. And I know that the Attorney General is also pushing that as an issue as well. Amazon, I think we briefly talked about this last time, Jamal, when we were live on the air. We talked about the fact that some of these people that were buying things and selling them at a higher price.
Right.
And that is problematic. And Jamal, I don't know if you heard, but I know that General Motors recently was negotiating with Trump, President Trump, on making the shields. I think it was the shields or the mask or something. I think it was the shields, the face shields. And that they wanted to, they were charging. At first, they told him one price, and after they seemed like they were getting ready to get the, get the deal, they upped it from something like I don't know, I'm just rounding off here. They upped it from $1 to like $7. So he turned around, you know. So it was Chevy, okay. So yeah, it was Chevy. So you know, to get the respirators, you know, and they upped it from one price to another price, and Trump told him no. He said he did a federal, I forget, it was like under the War Powers Act. He's now forcing them to make them for a reduced amount, because he could do that under the War Powers. So now they're paying, you know, they're going to have to produce them anyway, and they're going to have to give them the lower price. So there are people out there, Jesse, that are doing things, and we're trying to not to get people to do this price gouging. And yes, answer your question specifically, I agree they should take action against them. Go ahead, Jamal.
Did you hear that the grocery stores like Costco and Smart and Final are now, they told everybody you cannot return your toilet paper? because everything is coming down now. So people have these stockpiles that'll last them to 2023.
And they're saying they can't do what? I lost that. They can't do what with the toilet paper?
They can't return and get a refund on the toilet paper.
Oh, good. I like that.
They put a stop to it. For all the people that was doing all that hoarding and stuff like that, they're just stuck with it. Which I like that too.
Oh, so some of the people with the toilet paper were going back now because everything has calmed down and now trying to get their money back?
Right.
Well, right. You know what? I agree with Costco's. The heck with that. You know what? You were a hoarder from the beginning, okay, and you did all that. So, you got your toilet tissue now for the next 3 years, so good for you. And let it go like that. Don't give them that money back. I agree. And now they need money because they're out of work. So they probably should try to get some cash. At any rate. Right. All right. Let's go to the third one. The third one I did is more complimentary than anything else. It says, Jim, I recently attended one of your seminars a few months back. And now I've been listening to your radio show. Your passion is the same in both forms. Keep trying to keep us all safe, Martha. Well, we do try to do that, you know. And when I give these speeches, I do a lot of speeches, so I'm available for doing doing speeches on these subjects. Anybody out there that's interested, but right now we're not doing any speeches. Obviously, everything is where it is. But certainly in the future, I'd be willing to do that. And it is all about the passion. Just the same way Jamal and I talk about these issues on the air, we're very compassionate and passionate. Both, in terms of what it is, with the message we're trying to get out there to people. So we just want everybody to be safe. You know, Jamal, as Trump calls this is the invisible enemy, and that's what it is.
Right.
We talk about, these mass shooters and things of that nature. And hey, have you noticed we haven't seen too many of them lately, have we? They're all staying underground as well. So maybe this is what it took to slow that down a little bit. Okay. Let's talk about these coronavirus scams, okay? Because there are issues now that are jumping up. But let me just say at the outset to the listeners that anytime there's always I'm telling you from a law enforcement standpoint now, there's always a rise in crime such as domestic violence, drug use, and fraud. Anytime you have these major events. So, like for hurricanes, floods, earthquakes, any of those kind of things, you've got the people out there that have nothing better to do than to try to scam people out of their money. The domestic violence situations happen in people's homes. I would not be surprised if there's not going to be an increase, with some of these things with people on lockdown, so to speak. And now you end up with more issues at home. Because people are all, basically stuck together. Tempers could be flaring. So you could see some possibility with those kind of things as well. So, law enforcement, I'm sure, is going to be very busy with this. And I should say they're probably going to be trying to be cautious with going in people's homes. But that's just part of the job. That's just the way that it works. You take your chances with these kind of diseases. I remember one time, Jamal, I don't know if you remember this or not. I may not even have told you. I was on patrol and I get a call about a guy that was in distress, and I go there and I get there before the paramedics get there, and I'm in there with this guy, and he's sitting Indian style in the middle of the living room, middle of his living room. His wife is milling around in the kitchen washing dishes or something, and I walk in and this guy is sitting in the middle of the floor. I'm like, well, sir, what's going on? He's telling me he just got back from Canada and he hasn't felt well since he got back a day or so before. He's having palpitations, he's sweating, and I'm sitting up here talking to him, and I'm like, well, sir, and I'm standing a couple of feet back, let me make that clear. And then, I'm saying, well, sir, the paramedics are going to be here shortly, they'll be able to assist you more directly. I'm sitting there talking to this guy, and this guy dies right in front of me, basically. The paramedics got there within a couple of minutes after that.
Oh, wow.
So I've got it. They transport him to the hospital. I have to go to the hospital, fill out a report. And the doctor comes in and says, hey, by any chance, did you pull up this guy's pants leg and look at his legs? I'm like, no, I didn't do that. She said, well, she goes, let me just show you. So she takes me in there where he is and says, he's got meningitis. Now, Jamal, meningitis is extremely, extremely contagious.
Oh, wow.
So they had to report it to the CDC. I had to go and be tested. I had to call Brenda and tell her. I mean, it was a big deal. I mean, the station, because I was still on patrol, the station had to call me, you know, to head over to the hospital to get checked. And they gave me a couple of shots or some things or something like that. So law enforcement, wow. We talked about these first responders and these guys having to go into people's houses now with something like this. We got to really do wish the best of luck to them when they're out there, because it's bad. But law enforcement still has to do their job the same way the nurses and the doctors and the ambulance drivers. Let's not leave out anybody that has to deal with this situation. Now, I will say that while the coronavirus does differ from some of these other traditional crises, the fraud is going to be inevitable. As an example, okay, unemployment, okay? You're going to have, and Jamal, you know, because we're working with our clients and the Employment Development Department, which is the unemployment office, on these claims. These claims that are flooding into our office that we have to handle with the EDD. Now, as we've discussed, you know, when we get back to work, when these people get back to work, you're going to have people still collecting unemployment while they've been recalled back to work. And it's our job to do what, Jamal? Monitor that. That's going to be our job. But I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So disasters, emergency benefits, other types of benefits, public corruption. That's another thing people aren't really talking about. There's going to be some public corruption. Some of this at some point, Jamal, is going to come out because somebody somewhere is going to get some money. Okay, one of these governments with all this money that they're asking for. And I hope it doesn't go that way. But It's in the nature of the business, Jamal.
It is. Unfortunately, it is. There's always somebody that's an opportunist to look as waiting for these moments to, you know, to make, you know, a lot of money and a lot of profit off of tragedies like this.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And one of the things I want to mention, too, because we're talking about, you know, fraud and things like that. We have to protect our elderly. Our elderly seem like they always, to me, are the biggest targets. Especially when they know they too might get a check or anything like that. Then you got, you know, you mentioned the scammers earlier. The scammers go after our elderly because our elderly are more trusting and not understanding everything. So we must protect them as well. And also protect them from that one relative that's always asking for money too in our own home sometimes. You know what I mean? It's always. Keep an eye out. Keep an eye out for our elderly folks.
Well, I appreciate that, Jamal, but here, I'm elderly, and you're always asking me for money. Should I be reporting you to some agency, or how does that work?
Well, after the show, I was going to ask you, could you loan me something, you know? I didn't want to say it on air. But the rent's due in a couple days.
But you know what? It's what they're talking about. Even the FBI, Jamal, you know, is talking about the fact that there are people, because you mentioned the elderly, Jamal, and they are vulnerable. I mean, I know when I work the streets, I always took reports for people that have been elderly people that have been scammed by some of these people. And now the FBI is talking about the fact that there's people out there that, okay, now that there's federal aid available, and I will get a little bit more into these websites and all of that, but they got people out there now where they're sending information on the internet asking for personal information as if they're from a government agency. And the FBI is saying, hey, look, the government is never going to send out an email asking people for their personal information to get federal aid. It doesn't work that way. So people, spread the word out there. If somebody's emailing you and they're asking for information regarding like the stimulus checks or any of those kind of things, don't fall for that. Because those stimulus checks, which are, let's see, as an individual, if you made under $75,000 or as a couple, you made $150,000. Then, and by the way, I think they take that back to 2018. They're not using 2019. Then, you know, don't fall for that. If you file, you file your taxes electronically, it's going to automatically go into your account. So there's nobody out there that's going to be asking you for information or calling you about information. So don't fall for that. All right.
Don't fall for that. Nobody needs your account number. Nobody needs your routing number. Nobody needs your debit card information. None of that kind of stuff.
Nothing. Now, the other thing is that it's going around out there, Jamal. All these rumors regarding, you know, like the one that was going around, it was about taking sips, a few sips of water every 15 minutes to wash the virus down your throat and into your stomach. okay, because of the fact that your stomach, you know, or holding your breath for 10 seconds or whatever. And so, I mean, that stuff went out there. It looked like it was real. And now they're saying even those kind of things are scams of sorts. Don't follow that advice. Stick with the basic advice that we know that the doctors on the news keep talking about, that the CDC keeps talking about. Okay, wash your hands. Okay, sanitize areas, and, you know, wash your hands. Don't be touching, putting your hands to your face. That's very difficult. People do that throughout the day. So you got to constantly be washing your hands either with the sanitizer or with soap and water for 20 seconds. Just stick with the basics that they're giving us out there. All right. And don't fall for these different tips and things of that nature, because a lot of it's not true. Now, the other thing that's going on, Jamal, I think we've talked about this, are the rumors of alternative remedies or preventions for the virus, you know, that's coming out online. You know, and matter of fact, listen to this. The televangelist Jim Baker is being sued by the state of Missouri for hawking a product called Silver Solution as a coronavirus cure. A natural.
I heard about that.
Yeah, it claimed the solution worked for SARS and HIV. Huh? The what?
Not the church.
Oh, man.
Not the man who took the oath before God scamming everybody, man.
Yeah, you know, nobody. They're out there hawking this, you know, this thing. So now they're going after him, you know, because they had people apparently consuming large amounts of garlic and swallowing tablets that contain chlorine dioxide and stuff. I mean, people have got to calm down with all of this. The virus, just listen to the doctors on the news. Okay, they are telling you, okay, that this is a virus that it's going to be uncomfortable possibly for some people. Some people will have it, not even know they have it. Some people have mild symptoms. It's not the Black Plague, okay? So all these people are taking these different things that they're hearing about, and they're consuming them, and some of them are getting hurt by it. You know, slow down. You know, slow down. Now, they got also some of these government and healthcare organizations that these people are mimicking these organizations to carry out scams as well. The hackers are out there. They're doing phony donations requests, okay? Don't fall for the phony donation request, guys, okay? If you want to make a donation specifically to a hospital or something like that, go on their website directly yourself. Don't let somebody be contacting you and asking you for a donation. Come on now. You got to be smarter than that. And now they got these fake websites out there. These scammers, they set up these fake coronavirus-related websites that offer cures, both natural and pharmaceutical. You know, and they're talking about they got the vaccine, they got testing kits, prophylactic items, and short supplies such as face masks. Come on. Okay, you guys have heard about the fact that how difficult these things are to get. How would somebody on one of these fake websites all of a sudden be trying to get this stuff out to the general public when we're trying to get it into the hospitals? That's
ridiculous. Yeah, I have seen that. I have seen that a lot of people are making homemade face masks and selling them. They make them look cute, make them look nice, but they're actually completely irrelevant unless you just want to look like that.
Right. So, you know, don't fall for it. Look, and again, it goes back to just do what we're telling you that the doctors or the experts are talking about. Again, about the washing your hands and not touching your face kind of things. That these phony websites can steal your money. They can get your credit card information. They can infect your computer with malware. All of these type of things. Don't be listening to this, you know, with these miracle mineral solutions and things of that nature. You know, don't go for it. And vaccines? Come on, guys. You know they ain't having invented any vaccine that quick. So how in the world are you going to let somebody contact you and say, we got a vaccine because they got some fake website? And you're sitting up here falling for the okie doke, and you're going to send them, you know, some check or use your credit card for this vaccine. They can't develop one that fast. The scientists are telling us, the doctors, the experts are telling us, we're a year away from a vaccine for all practical purposes. You know, so don't fall for that. All right. Now, then of course they got the seller and buyer scams out there. You know, and these scammers are unethical sellers. They also take advantage of you guys, you know, on such platforms as Amazon or Walmart, you know, AliExpress, Overstock, you know, all these things that they're trying to gouge the consumers. you know, and they can market and you know, tainted goods, damaged goods, used goods, expired goods. And here you are, you're having, you know, you're paying for this kind of stuff, and then you get it and you open that package, and hopefully you sanitize that package first, okay? And you open up that package and it's junk. It has nothing to do with anything. Don't fall for it, people. All right. Anybody who wants to comment on this, give us a call. 818-602-4929. You know, maybe go ahead.
What is your thoughts on you know, even just in general, going outside, going outdoors? You know, a lot of people wearing gloves, a lot, you know, wearing masks wherever they drive and things like that. Do you think that that's helpful?
Well, we've been following this stuff very closely, Jamal, because clients have been calling, as you know, and asking me about some of these things. Look, exercise, they're saying, is okay, but and going outside is okay. So what they're trying not to get people to do is go out there in mass, basically, like, you know, huddling together, like at these beaches and these hiking trails and out there on the basketball courts and things of that nature. So that's why in California, I think some other states, I think I saw something with Florida now, and there's also maybe Atlanta, where they are saying, okay, guys, they're shutting down the beaches because these people don't have enough sense to stay away from the beaches. Now, you want to get some exercise, you can take a walk around the neighborhood. Just maintain your social distancing. Then, and I'm not an expert with this, obviously. I'm only repeating what I've heard the scientists and those doctors on the news, what they're talking about and the advice that they're giving. And they're saying it's okay. Just maintain your social distancing. You know, don't, you know, congregate together, basically. And you can see it because even when you're driving down the street, you'll see people standing at a corner for like the red light, and they're all standing apart from each other. That's what we're talking about. So you could take a walk around the block for some exercise. You know, this business.
You missed the question.
Go ahead.
No, I was asking about the, you know, I see a lot of people, like, you go to the store, everybody's wearing gloves wherever they go, like latex gloves and.
Right.
Wearing face masks, you know, wherever they go. Do you think they're going to the extreme, or you think that's okay? Or what is your thoughts?
Look, I appreciate that question, and you did ask that. I thought you had mentioned exercising also. But, yeah, in terms of the face mask, they're telling us the face mask really – there's only one certain kind, I think it is, that really truly can protect you. It's the ones that the doctors and the nurses are trying to get, the same way that it's the surgical mask that they use when they're performing surgeries. So they're not putting something out, you know. So if you have one of those – you know, that would be good, but that's protecting you, you know, from giving it to somebody else as well, okay? And the gloves are fine. I mean, I went to the store the other day and to Whole Foods, and they had taped on the sidewalk where everybody had to stand about 4 feet apart, and before you even walked into the store, they had you doing hand sanitizers. Now, these people with these gloves, with the rubber gloves, yeah, those are supposed to be very effective. There's no doubt about that. The mask issue, Jamal, to me is a flip of a coin if you're asking my opinion. Again, if you're not touching your hands to your face, that's the biggest thing. Don't touch your hands to your face. People's face itch, their nose itch a little bit, you know, so they do things like that. They put things to their mouth, in their mouth. So those are the things that they're telling us is how you get it. So if you're wearing a face mask, at least it's covering your nose and your mouth. Yeah, so from that perspective, I think, you know, it prevents you from touching your face. So, you know, you follow what I'm saying? So that might be helpful. But what are you going to do? Wear that? People wear them out in the street, driving around, whatever the case may be. It's not airborne to their knowledge. I haven't heard anybody saying it's airborne, with the exception of the fact that if you're around close to somebody and they sneeze, okay, that you may or cough, they may get, you know, you may be in that, you know, too close to them. So that's a possibility. Right. But if you're 10 feet back from somebody and they cough, the droplets, from what I understand, they're not going to shoot out there 10 feet. That's why they say use the 6 feet as good distancing, you know, so to speak.
You know, I give a lot of credit to Stater Brothers. I was at the store, the grocery store Stater Brothers, the other day, and they had employees literally constantly wiping off the handles of every shopping cart after somebody finished using it. They was out there with spray bottles. Constantly, all day long, spraying the handles, man, to make, you know, take extra effort to make sure they can sanitize things as much as possible, going, you know, way beyond the, well, not way beyond, you know what I mean? But in the
talking
in. But they was doing a very good job at that.
See, and that's what we have to be able to do. I mean, so these are the things that'll happen, and they'll be doing this all the way down the road for a long time. I mean, I don't see that stopping within the next 12 months. That's just my personal opinion, but that we'll continue some of these habits that we're doing. There's another one out there, Jamal, where they're doing these coronavirus-related investment scams. Okay, so the Security and Exchange Commission is talking about, hey, they're going to use, criminals use social media to promote, you know, micro what they call micro cap stocks, which they claim to have a product or a service that can help prevent or treat coronavirus. You know, these pump and dump scams, you guys, they can be very costly. Don't fall for that, because now you make some investment and you're thinking, hey, this is going to be a money maker, and it ends up being BS and you end up losing your money. You know, go through a regular stock broker. Okay, stock brokers are going to know which ones that, if you're going to make an investment, you know, which companies might be good to do it for. At any rate, okay, guys, look, I think the message that Jamal and I are trying to put out there is very clear, okay? What you do after that is definitely going to be up to you. Anything further, Jamal, that you might want to mention? I think we've covered it, but if you have something else you'd like to add?
No, just be safe and really take this stuff very serious. We're not asking nobody to live in fear, of course, but do take the extra precautions. And don't go out if you don't need to. Try to get hand sanitizer when you use the gas pumps or touch public things. And, you know, just be careful, because it's very real.
Well, you mentioned the thing about fear. I think the word for me is also panic. Keep the panic under control. That's why we had all this panic buying and things of that nature. You know, you could be a little bit fearful, but just remember the percentages are very low in terms of it actually killing people. I mean, I know there's people out there that are dying, but just remember the large majority, I think it's like 90%, 95% of the people that get this. Again, some people may not even know they have it. Some are just mild symptoms. It's really the people that have, you know, autoimmune deficiency issues, other types of things that they're going through, and elderly people, you know, that this is really impacting. And not to say that you can't have somebody younger. I think there was a kid up in Lancaster or Palmdale that died. He was 18 years old. He went to the emergency room. They didn't treat him, actually, Jamal. They said he didn't have insurance. But I think this was before they realized what was going on. So I don't think they turn anybody back now for lack of insurance.
Right.
But, you know, so you hear about some of these younger ones, and you know that. But those are not the norm. You know, those are not the norm. All right, Jamal, let's finish up on this bioterrorism, please. And look, for anybody that's new that's joining us, and for those of you that heard the show 2 weeks ago or whatever the case may be, just to give you a little refresher about bioterrorism, because what we've been talking about with this virus, you know, to be honest with you, it is a form of that. So let me just give you that overview that we discussed a couple of weeks ago and on the replay last week. But bioterrorism, it involves the intentional release or dissemination of biological agents. So remember, it's intentional release of these biological agents. And these agents can be things like bacteria, viruses, insects, believe it or not, or other types of toxins. And you know, maybe in a naturally occurring or human modified form, in much the same way as biological warfare that they use. And I use an example about, you know, 150 years ago, whatever it was, where they introduced smallpox into some of the Native American tribes and killed off people, you know. So at any rate, that just gives you an overview. But remember, it's intentional. Now, I keep getting this conflicting information as to whether or not this, you know, coronavirus, COVID-19, was created in a laboratory and not in China. I keep hearing things back and forth. And I heard something again on there, where one of the senators was talking about it. And I don't know, China may have a hard price to pay when this is all said and done. But, you know, we'll just wait and see for right now. But we don't want to run crazy with this. We don't want to discriminate against somebody that's, you know, that's Chinese. Every time you see somebody Chinese, you want to walk across the street or have some inappropriate comment to them. Remember the guy walking across the street, approaching you on the street? He's not the one, or she's not the one that had anything to do with this. So just understand that part of it.
Right.
Now, this business about bioterrorism, you know, that people plan that. It involves the development of biological identification systems that they create. You know, and until recently, actually, Jamal, the United States had the most biological defense strategies, okay, in place probably than a lot of the major countries. The reason they had it in place was because they were geared up to protecting soldiers on the battlefield. See, is what happened was they expected that instead of being able to protect citizens because they were thinking, you know, about bioterrorism when these guys would be, you know, involved in a war, okay? So it was more protective for them. But because of the fact that these biological agents are relatively easy to obtain by terrorists, they are becoming more threatening in the United States. And there's laboratories out there that are working on advanced detection systems to provide early warnings, you know, that'll identify contaminated areas and populations that may be at risk. And they're also looking to facilitate prompt treatment. So for some of these things, they are prepared. They just weren't prepared for this one. So that's what I want the listeners to understand. There was certain preparation for these other biological type of events. It just wasn't prepared for this type of situation.
And once again, that's why I say we can't. There's so many different viruses out there and so many scenarios and moving pieces. Once again, you got to be cautious about who blaming people for not being prepared for this specific thing. These things mutate. They adjust. They adapt. You know, so, you know, that's why I always say.
Man.
No, we can always try to be, you know, as prepared as possible. Did somebody drop the ball? Maybe so. You know what I mean? But it's just hard to pinpoint one person to blame for this.
Well, I don't think we should be blaming anybody specifically. I know they're talking about China and all that kind of good stuff because it started over there, and I get that. But I will say this. One of the things that they're talking about is that I'm at least glad that they had the preparedness regarding biological, this biological issue with biological warfare. Because let me just tell you something. The aspects of protection against bioterrorism in the United States, it includes a detection and resilience strategies to combat things like this. So believe it or not, they do have some things in place already. So let me give you an idea. Now, you've heard them about the different things that they're doing right now to try to combat this. Well, on the biological side, the bioterrorism side, is what they've been doing was enhancing the technological capabilities of first responders. So again, you know, there's a piece of this that they do have in place. Now, they also, under bioterrorism, you know, have enhanced equipment for first responders. Now, again, this particular issue is a little bit different. So on the high side of the bioterrorism, they've got other things that they have put in place. Again, they just weren't expecting something like this at this level.
Right.
You know, if that makes any sense. Now, New York City, Cuomo has been on the air a lot talking about this because New York City is getting really hit. But let me just tell you something. New York City has specific strategies already in place to prevent bioterrorism. They have what they call the Excelsior Challenge. And I'll spell that in case anybody wants to look it up. Excelsior, Excelsior Challenge. And it's what they do. They have these training exercises that are designed for police and first responders to become familiar with techniques and practices should a real incident of bioterrorism occur. So here's what's interesting about this is that they're constantly looking at what's happening around the world, and they tailor those training courses under the challenge, Excelsior Challenge, okay, so that they can handle these world events like this. So, again, you look at this and say, New York, you have to wonder how this situation has exploded the way that it is. And they're going to tell you out there that it's because they're in such, you know, close population on the subways, on the transit buses. Right. Jamal, I don't remember. Did I take you guys to New York City? I know we went to upstate New York. But I don't remember. Did we go to the city?
I know we came to New York City. I can't remember being on the subway or nothing like that, though.
Right, because I think we were driving you guys around. But here's the deal. You know, the subway is packed like sardines, man. And because people in New York don't really own cars. I say that there's some people that own cars. Don't get me wrong, but most people going back and forth to work, school, et cetera, they're on this subway. When you get on those subways, Jamal, it is packed. You're standing with people shoulder to shoulder. Okay.
Right.
The buses are the same way. And then you have taxi cabs. So you have a city that's like that, that's so condensed, so to speak. That's how this thing ran rampant. So it would have been hard for them to be able to control something like this. That's the problem. That's why now is what they're trying to do is keep people out of there, obviously. And now, they don't have it now.
So I was getting ready to ask you that. So what is New York City doing to try to keep people indoors?
Well, they're doing the same thing, Jamal, shelter in place. I talked to my cousin Janice the other day. And yesterday, as a matter of fact, and she's a retired doctor. She's in New York City, and she hasn't been out of her home since March 13th, since they shut all this down. And she just has her deliveries, her food is being delivered to her home.
Right.
And, she's still sterilizing the boxes when they come in there. She's doing what she's supposed to do. So to answer your question, people are staying home. I spoke to my niece, that was supposed to actually be getting married in May, then now they've pushed it back to July, unfortunately. They've had to switch it around. But what are they doing? She and her fiance are both working from home. That's what they're doing. You got to do it that way. You see what people are doing out here, shelter in place.
Did you see what India's doing to keep people indoors?
Yeah, aren't they making arrests and all kinds of stuff?
Man, they out there beating grown men with bamboo sticks. Like,
really?
Like little children. Ride around, you got to check it out on YouTube, man. They are getting grown men with bamboo sticks, making them do look like football punishment drills and up downs and squats and all kinds of.
You mean for being out on the street when they're not supposed to?
For being out on the street when they're not supposed to.
Well, you know what that would be like over here if the police all of a sudden started beating people with bamboo sticks.
It wouldn't happen.
The lawsuits would be flying because it's a violation of the Eighth Amendment, cruel and unusual punishment. Hey Jamal, let's take a look at these. Let's get the listeners off of this coronavirus thing real quick, and talk about these some stats from burglary and home evasions, I would say that's not the good news either, but the reality is we always want to be safe as well in other ways, because now with people at home, you want to be careful about home invasions and burglaries and things of that nature. You want to take a look at some of that, Jamal, or let me keep going?
Absolutely. Starting with 77% of all crimes are property crimes. And they say three out of four homes in the U.S. will be broken into within the next 20 years. Three out of four homes.
Right.
That is a lot. It's almost like you're guaranteed, somebody's going to try it. They say renters are more vulnerable to property crime than homeowners are. And that makes sense. Homeowners different. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, let me just tell you, you probably aren't aware of this, but when you were a baby, we got burglarized. While we were home,
we had an apartment.
You were in the crib, huh? I'm sorry.
It happened again when I was a teenager also.
Okay, well, one step at a time. So let me just tell you that when you were in your crib, and we were on the first floor, and we had one of those windows where the window slide, it slides from left to right. It was that kind of window. And it was off of a little alley, in between. It was an apartment building. It was kind of like a little U. I think about it like a little U-shape. And somebody walked in between there, okay, and I had just come home. I was in law school. I had just come home not too long before that, and I had on the kitchen table, which is by that window, I put my wallet. I put this ring this amethyst ring that had been given to me as a gift when I was in college, and a couple other things. I just left my watch, just left it on. I don't even know why I did it that way, to be honest with you. Like, I went home, I think I had something to eat, just stuck that there real quick, and basically just went inside and went to bed. And then your mother actually heard something fall. She heard a noise. This is after I went to sleep. And she thought it was you kicking the side of the crib. So she went into your room, didn't see anything, and then she looked in the kitchen, and the curtain to that window was kind of flapping. And that's wow. how we somebody was in and somebody and they stole my wallet, my ring, and I take my watch or whatever it was I had right there. So I learned a valuable wow. lesson from that. I'm trying to remember, what's the other burglary you're talking about?
Somebody had they did a 2-step process. They had removed the screen from the front window of the living room and put it across the street. Nobody noticed that it was gone. And then in the middle of the night, one day, somebody tried to come in through the living room window. And once again, mom heard it and woke up the whole damn neighborhood. Like,
I'm
you know,
sure.
So they only got a foot in, and it was a footprint. And the police.
Oh, Jamal, I do remember out. That. I'm sorry, Jamal. I do yeah. remember that now. I'm sorry. I do remember right. that. And right. I got burglarized in this house over here when I moved into this house. I moved in on right. a weekend or a weekday, but I had to leave 2 days later to go to the administrative law judges forum that was up in Monterey. And somebody burglarized this house. I hadn't been in this house two right. days, you know, whatever it was. Wow. I hadn't even unpacked, you know. Wow. And so these burglaries, I mean, these things can definitely happen without a doubt. What other comments did you want to make, Jamal?
I got some other statistics about how we're the entry points of these
okay,
burglaries.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
34% of burglars enter through the front door. 23% of burglars gain entrance through a first floor window.
You know, that's kind of surprising when you think about it, about the front door, because you would think on a front door, wouldn't people see that? But yeah. let me just tell you, I've worked patrol on burglaries. They've had people yeah. that have walked out of somebody's front door with big screen TVs and just carry them outside, and nobody pays attention to it because they make the assumption they can't be doing something wrong, because who would come out the front door during the middle of the day?
Right. Then you have 22% of burglars break in a home through a back door, 9% of burglars through the garage, 4% through an unlocked entrance, and 2% somewhere on the second floor somehow.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think of the common, Jamal, what are the commonly stolen items? What do you think they're going after?
The cash, laptops, smartphones. You got to remember, they're not going to be in there too long. You know, they're getting in and out as fast as possible. So the first thing they can grab is a wallet, electronic, gold, jewelry, watches, medication. They will go wow. after the medicine cabinet, you know.
Drugs,
firearms,
drugs.
Guns, yeah, tools, household goods, liquor, cars, bikes. Depending on the age, it could be, you know, your PlayStations and things like that, your iPhones these days. So, you know, whatever they could grab and head out the door, you know. And people got to realize, you can't think, not my house. Because, you know, we had a friend of the family that was a detective whose house was burglarized.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
They had dogs that were very vicious and still was able to burglarize. These people, that's all they think about. This is their job, is not to go to work. Their job is to figure out how to break into your home and take stuff. You know, so.
Well, let me just tell you, about 65%, Jamal, of home burglaries happen between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. while people are at work or school, and the most common hours for a burglary are between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., okay, in general.
Right.
So those are the times when those people are getting in. And throughout the year, July and August, you guys, are the months with the most home break-ins, which is interesting, I thought. You know, July
right.
and August. Why July and August? I have no idea. Maybe more people, yeah. more people are out and about during the summer, probably. Because people are traveling, probably. Vacations, things of that nature.
Right.
Interesting.
Yes, that makes sense.
You know, interesting.
I looked up on the NRA website. They had, believe it or not, they only got three things that you should do to guard your house. And I thought it was going to be buy the gun, load the gun, and shoot the gun, but that's not what it is. they actually recommend you secure the exterior with rose bushes by the windows, things with thorns in it and things like that.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, strengthen the interior of your home. You know, make sure you got locks on the doors, locks on your windows, and things like that. And the last one is have a prepared refuge in case somebody breaks into your house in the middle of the night, have a plan for you and your family and things like that, to, you know, to protect yourselves. So I thought those were pretty good things also.
It was. And now we're getting ready to be in a situation where we're going to wrap this up. But next week is what we're going to do is pick up, because we still want to talk about the home invasion things. But again, the coronavirus stuff really does take up time, because we want to make sure we get that out, because that has to do with a different type of safety. All right. You've been listening to Jim Potts and Jamal Potts on LA Talk Radio. It's time to close out the show, guys. Be sure to join us next week. And do us a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. Until then, be aware, be vigilant, be safe, but more importantly also, be a reluctant victim, whether it's for an invisible enemy or another one with the mass shootings, etc. Until next week, guys, take care.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.